KaiserNetwork.org.
Dr. Helene Gale, International AIDS Society President and Co-Chair of this conference, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
This is the first year a prevention track has been included in this conference. Can you just talk a little bit about the genesis of this prevention track and what the IAS hopes to accomplish by including it?
Well, this is the third year of this conference that has really wanted to focus on the latest science related to our fight against HIV and AIDS. Originally, it started focusing primarily on basic science and clinical research, but increasingly, there was a recognition of the important research and scientific role that prevention science plays, and I think we all recognize that it was important to include a track. Some of the prevention research has been part of the conference anyway, the vaccine research, microbicides, some of the epidemiology, but I think it was clear recognition that if we were going to look at prevention as an equal part of fighting this epidemic, then we needed to also equally include prevention research and the contribution that it makes.
So what can people expect to learn about prevention as a part of this conference?
Well, I think this conference will present some of the latest research related to the whole range of prevention research, everything from how we can do a better job in our programmatic response as we look at evaluating prevention programs that are already in place, but also some of the new prevention research that's taking place in the area of better female-controlled prevention tools like microbicides, barrier methods, as well as focus on HIV vaccine research, and all of the other tools looking at how perhaps antiretroviral therapy can be used as a way of preventing HIV as well. So it's looking at the whole gamut of both how well are we already doing with the tools that we already know can make a difference in prevention, but also what are the ways in which we might be able to expand our options for prevention.
Now, you mentioned microbicides. In many parts of the world, women actually now represent a majority of people who are HIV positive or living with AIDS, and an estimated 7,000 women are infected every day. How important is it that an effective microbicide is developed, and how far away do you think we are from having one developed?
Well, I think it's critical that we really look at this issue of increasing the options for women to reduce their risk of acquiring HIV infection. Microbicide is one clearly very important tool in that. We hope that within the next 5 to 7 years, it may actually be an effective microbicide. Microbicide research is going to evolve, and it's going to be incremental. The first microbicide may not be the one that has the highest effectiveness against HIV, but we need to start, and we need to do the trials, do the science to get the product so that we will have more and more effective microbicides as years go by. But I think there are also other exciting research studies being done, for instance, looking at the diaphragm, female diaphragm that covers a woman's cervix, a site that we know is a prime site for HIV acquisition for women. If you could use a tool like a diaphragm that already exists to block, use it as a barrier against HIV, this could be an exciting tool and may be ready even before a diaphragm. So looking at other female condoms, for instance, that we already know exist, could we get better and better female condoms that are less expensive, easier to use? So I think there's a whole range of things that may make prevention for women much more, give many more options than we currently have.
And one big story that's expected to come out of the conference as well is a study about circumcision and the potential benefits of circumcision as far as preventing men from getting HIV from their female partners. Can you talk a little bit about what's expected to be talked about with that study?
Well, that trial is a trial that was done in South Africa, and some of the preliminary results were already discussed, and preliminarily looked like it did have a very large protective effect, perhaps as much as 70% reduction in HIV acquisition for men who had been circumcised. Now, that study will be released on Tuesday, and we'll get a lot more detail at that time. There are also other circumcision trials being done, that, in fact, one that we're sponsoring, that looks at whether or not a man being circumcised actually reduces his chance of transmitting it to his female partner. So there may be a bi-directional impact of circumcision. One of the most important things is that this is This is the first trial. There are two other ones ongoing. And before we really know what the effectiveness of circumcision is, I think it's important that we look at all the data, because sometimes the first trial may in fact have, may not, the evidence may not hold up in subsequent trials. But it's an important step forward.
And in terms of a vaccine, will there be any new announcements made at the conference about a vaccine?
Well, there won't be any new announcements specifically. There will be sessions that will focus on advances that are being made and the work that is continuing to go on in finding a safe and effective HIV vaccine. One of the efforts that I'm involved in is one called the HIV Vaccine, Global HIV Vaccine Enterprise, a chance to really pull together and develop a more strategic approach to vaccine development by pulling together the people working on vaccine, developing a more collaborative approach to it, so that we really are joining the scientific community together in a much more strategic approach to vaccine development. We hope that this will help to accelerate the search for a new vaccine, the search for a vaccine.
Do you feel like the effort right now is disparate?
Well, I think after 20 years of considerable research, everybody feels that the process that has gone forward, which is the traditional way in which biomedical research often goes forward, people working in a more individual way versus looking at how can we, similar to the Human Genome Project, where you pull together the scientific community and really look at developing a strategic plan that prioritizes the real stumbling blocks, scientific stumbling blocks towards progress, and really looking at how can you do a better job of coordinating what different people are doing, comparative advantages of one research group versus another. How can you really pool the efforts in a much more collaborative fashion? And we think that that can make a difference.
Any estimate as to when you think an effective vaccine might become available?
Well, I think most people have stopped trying to make estimates at this point. Clearly, we know that it is at least another decade, just based on where we are today with the trials and the stage of preclinical and clinical research that's going on. But I think the big thing is the sooner we start making the kind of global effort that I think we now are moving towards, the sooner we'll get in a vaccine. So I'm optimistic. I think that there are real scientific hurdles, but I think that they are hurdles that can be met, obstacles that can be met, and I think that we can have a safe and effective HIV vaccine in our lifetime.
Now, treatment has definitely been scaled up, and there have been some advances in a lot of countries in terms of treatment, but I know that prevention is an issue that you work closely on. Can you talk a little bit about bringing prevention and treatment together? Because in some instances, when treatment becomes available, there's an increase in risky behavior. So how important is it, and what are the ways that the community can actually put those two together to make them work together?
Well, I think it's an important point. As we focus more attention on scaling up treatment, We must do that in a way that integrates prevention and recognizes the interrelated role of prevention and treatment. And I think the scale-up of treatment has really helped to accelerate the notion that prevention and treatment go hand in hand. There are both opportunities and, as you mentioned, also risk. Clearly, there are lots of benefits for prevention of having greater access to treatment. More people are going to be interested in knowing that they're HIV infected, for instance. And so as more people know what their HIV status is, they can take the necessary actions to either reduce the chances that they'll spread HIV to others if they are infected, or find out more what they need to do to keep themselves negative if they find out they're negative. So I think, you know, that's a clear benefit. Having treatment available reduces the stigma related to HIV. It will make people more willing and likely to get the kind of information and prevention services that they need, because it takes it out of this kind of mysterious negative disease that HIV has been. But as you mentioned, on the other hand, there is the risk that as people feel that this becomes a less serious, more treatable disease, they could in fact return to risk behavior. So it is important that in all settings, including clinical settings, prevention is part of the overall services that somebody with HIV gets, as well as somebody without HIV.
Mm-hmm. And last question, can you talk about how important it is and the difficulties that come along with all the scientific information that will be discussed at the conference and actually translating that into real-world results that attendees can take back to their home countries and actually make a difference?
Well, we've tried to put a lot of focus at this conference into translation. How do you take the information that we're going to hear, discuss it, debate it, look at the practical applications? We have skills-building sessions, for instance, so that people who are hearing some of the scientific information for the first time understand how it applies to their daily work. So I think we're trying through this conference to do a lot more in terms of translating science into action, but more needs to be done, clearly, where we're able to look at what are the practical implications and discuss those. That's what we hope a lot of the open forums that we have will allow.
Dr. Helene Gale, International AIDS Society President and Co-Chair of this conference, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.